Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Marsh Engel back as my guest. Since 2001, Marsh Engel's books, coaching programs, and live events have been recognized for their unparalleled capacity to move women to design influential brands, launch successful purpose-driven ventures, and lead inspired lives of impact. Join us for a conversation about amazing women and Marsh Engel's new book, Amazing Woman, It's Your Time to Emerge. Welcome, Marsh.
Hi, so happy to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you back on the show. You are so inspiring. Excuse me, and oh my gosh, what a year to be celebrating 20 years. I really want to hear about how this all got started 20 years ago. So could you give us a brief history of how this all started?
Yeah, absolutely I can, but I first want to thank you for inviting me on the show. I love our connection. You've been part of the Amazing Woman books, and you've been part of the inspiration that's been created through the amazing women that are in our community and in the movement, I will call it. Back 20 years ago, little did I know that it would become a movement. I was really caught in the throes of my own, let's say, despair, really. I was going through quite a time. On January 15th in 1999, my mom died suddenly, unexpectedly, of a heart attack. And when I, you know, the moment I received that phone call, I knew that life was going to be changing because it would never be the same. You know, our relationship with our mother, our relationship with our father, so key to who we are as individuals, how we hold ourselves, the way we see our possibilities, our potentials, and such a healing journey that we go through. And I knew that when my mom died on January 15th, 1999, that things were going to be changing. I flew back to where I grew up, which was Evansville, Indiana. I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And I flew back to Evansville, Indiana, and entered, you know, the family home to be with my family, to be with my brothers and my dad, and really, you know, enter into the experience of saying goodbye to her in that way. You know, we never say completely goodbye. My mom's with me. She showed up when I was writing the other day, and she said to me, you know, in spirit, she said to me, "I'm so proud of you." It was such a meaningful, it brought tears to my eyes to feel her so present in my heart, speaking through me. But, you know, when I went back to my family home, there was a room that my mom had in the home that she called her room, and her room had her clothing, and it had she loved angels. It had all of the angels that she loved so much. And I sat in the middle of that bed, Margot. I sat there, and I could feel her presence with me. I could feel my grandmother's presence with me. I could feel this lineage of amazing women with me. And she said, you know, Marsh, this is your time. This is your time. Today, I would say she would be saying, this is your time to emerge, since that's what we're speaking about today is the emergence of women. But right. I really felt her presence urging me forward to discover what is it? It's your time. It's your search for the amazing woman. And I, you know, little did I know what that would grow me into, or grow the movement into, or grow my conversations into, or my own self-awareness, or my own self-image, or the discoveries that I'd make along the way, because I was very much at the time enthralled in the doingness of my life, the building a business, responding to clients, which I will say was client overload. I had built a company that was incredibly stressful. It was an entertainment marketing agency for television and film. Glad that I had that experience, because it helped me create a movement, having that marketing background and understanding what it takes to drive awareness and to bring people together on a common vision, a common message. But it was also incredibly stressful. So when my mom in spirit spoke to me and said, "Mom, Marsh, this is your time, a search for the amazing woman," I took it literally. I took it literally, go out and search for the amazing woman. And but before I go into that story, I want to back up a little bit because I want to say that I wrote my mom's eulogy. And back in 99, that was very unusual for a daughter to speak a eulogy. Back then, that wasn't the way it was done, or at least in the world that I was living in Evansville, Indiana. So it was very unusual. And I wrote the eulogy, and I spoke that eulogy. And I realized sometime later that of all the amazing women stories, I've written hundreds of amazing women stories by now, maybe multi-hundreds, and interviewed multi-hundreds of women. That story, though, Margo, you'll love this. That story was the very first amazing woman story that I wrote.
Oh my gosh, you're making me cry.
Isn't that awareness at the time? Because we have to remember, you know, on her celebration of life, I did not know I was going to become a published author. I did not know that I would be telling amazing woman stories. I did not know that I'd be celebrating our lives and our purpose and our experience of really owning the pureness, the truth, the power of the image that we hold of ourselves and who we are as creators. And I did not know that, though, when I wrote her story. I just followed my heart. And what I will believe as I'm saying, you know, speaking to you now, I think her urging, it's almost as though I could hear her laughing, saying, yeah, it was my idea to urge you forward to become a writer, you know, to write that story, to speak that story, because it was very much out of my, you know, very much out of my comfort zone to write this. It took me hours and hours and hours to write it. And it took me, I was incredibly timid in the beginning to deliver that because it was the first time I'd spoken, really. And of course, you know, at my mom's celebration of life, it's very, very challenging time to do that. And I realized that that was the beginning. That was the birthing of a search for the amazing woman. And that was the birthing of the authorship and the telling of stories and the incredibly keen interest, the passionate interest I have in celebrating the lives of women and all of our potentials and our possibilities. And that's really where it started. But right after that, Margot, I received, just months after that, I received a diagnosis of lymphoma. And
lymphoma is
cancer of the lymph system.
Oh my God.
So it was at my throat and it was at my heart is where these lymph nodes were. And it was inoperable. And I was terrified. I was terrified of what that meant to my future, my life, or did I have a future? And I can remember, this is an important part of that story because I remember when I went into the doctor and I sat with the doctor and he gave me the diagnosis and he gave me the prognosis. And Margo, do you know something within me? This, remember, I'm still on this search for the amazing woman. This is in my spirit. But something within me rose up. I leaned forward. I looked right at the doctor and I said, "You clearly have no idea who I am." And
I love it.
I've just, something within me said, do not listen to that. Do not take that in. Do not settle for that. Do not let that be. This is not your legacy. This is not your story. This is not how this is going to play. This is not your end. So I listened to that and I believed that. And that became then, I believe when I wrote, you know, that part of me rose up. I believe that was the amazing woman within me, the amazing woman, the creative force within me that said, there's a choice that you can make here, and you're going to be led to very uncomfortable situations. You're going to let go of a self-identity that you've held for way too long. You're going to chip away at that facade of, you know, of who you think you are and where you think your power comes from, and you're going to chip away at all of the victimhood that was still very much alive in me, that was very much in a facade of what looked like strength and power, because, you know, here I was, this, what I thought was a high achiever. And
right.
I just, you know, that diagnosis was today, as I'm speaking to you, I can see it as equally as important as the day that my mom passed, being an amazing experience to awaken me to the truth of my calling, to the truth of my purpose, to the truth of the passion that I have for supporting and you know, bringing into presence the real power of the feminine within each of our spirits. And that journey through healing, I'm going to bring up Wayne Dyer here, because you and I have a common thread with Wayne Dyer. Wayne Dyer is someone that I studied through my healing journey. He is someone that I listened to. Back then we had, remember those little cassette tapes?
Yeah.
That were,
oh, I still have
you know, back
cassette
in the
tapes.
Old day. Yeah, I know. They're so good. I know. I have a collection of them too. And then a cassette player. It was like a Walkman. You know, we had these.
Right, right.
Cassette
yeah,
play-
I
anyway,
have
back
one of
those. In the old days, you know. Remember, this is back years ago. So it's like I'm dating myself now as I tell this story. But I would hike. I would hike in nature.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that the voice and the words of Wayne Dyer bringing me into presence and being in nature and allowing nature to heal my body and staying in movement in that way. And I mean, I was religiously dedicated to this process. Every morning,
uh-huh.
every evening, I was hiking in nature. As much as possible, I was sitting in nature. I was in movement in nature and kept my energy moving. And then, of course, I did, you know, I had some surgeries, and I also had worked with a non-traditional healing through that period. But I credit Wayne Dyer and this connection with nature and this connection with movement and this connection with understanding. And I grew an incredible, incredible interest in energy psychology and worked with energy psychology in my own body and to discover where was the root of what was happening within my life and what was happening within my body that was causing this. And Wayne Dyer was my virtual companion through his audio tapes. And back, you know, some years later, I flew to Maui specifically to meet with him, to tell him what that meant to my life and what that meant to my healing. And that was right as the time I got there is when he passed. And that was an incredible experience.
So 2015 was when you went there to tell him? And you had been to Maui before. You just hadn't seen him there.
Right. Yeah. And he passed. What was happening is I was leading a retreat and I was leading a workshop. And through it, one of the women received a text saying that Wayne had passed. And I began to cry. And I told the story. I said I wanted to tell him how incredibly powerful his words were in what I believe to be helping my body heal and how it brought me present. And I was telling this story of, you know, having found him and just allowing his audio cassettes to be my companion through my healing journey as I would hike and be in nature, and telling this story, very elaborately telling this story, you know, and with all my heart. And I said, I flew here so that I could meet with him and tell him this story. And I stopped, Margo. I stopped and I said, I think I just told him the story. So it was like I told it to him in spirit. I told it to the
room, I know, which was I'm sure you did. You know, I remember, I've been listening to his tapes since, oh God, I think it was the second Nightingale Conant tape program I bought was his How to Be a No Limit Person way back when, in the mid-80s, I think it was, and Earl Nightingale's Lead the Field, and oh my gosh, but yeah, I mean, the whole idea, Wayne has always been so much about healing, and that's, as you know, why I titled my show Live Your Music, because Wayne always said, don't die with your music still in you. And I thought, oh my God, how can I say it without the don't and without the die? Because, you know, when you say don't think of a pink elephant, you have to think of a pink elephant. And so, you know, and somebody else was saying, well, you know, he was just trying to get the point across that you got to do it now, which is
yeah,
true.
Yeah, exactly.
But I see Live Your Music, and I say to myself, do it now anyway, because, you know, do it, feel the excitement and do it anyway. That's what I like to say. Instead of feel the fear, feel the excitement and do it anyway. Because fear and excitement, when it's something that's going to make you grow, you feel both of them. If you feel just fear, then it's something somebody else wants you to do or something you think you should do maybe, but it's not. If it's something that your spirit wants, your soul wants, if it's something that's your music, it's exciting.
Well,
so,
you know, speaking to that, there's something else that Wayne said and did. He actually reflected to me, and that was he had a multi-international bestseller called Your Uranus Zones, and that was the first book, I think, that really became his trademark, his signature, and he tells a story where his agent, after Your Uranus Zones was such a massive hit, Wayne was a therapist at the time, a PhD
right.
therapist, and he had written this book, and his agent called him and said, you know, we've got multiple book offers, you know, this is an incredible follow-up to Your Uranus Zones, and we're going to make this a whole series. And Wayne paused, and he said to his agent, he said, but you don't understand, I'm done with speaking from that perspective. This perspective on, the new perspective I'm taking is one of a spiritual growth, spiritual expansion, and I will only write books that are spiritually conscious. And not that Your Uranus Zone was not. I still have it on my shelf here. It's one of my favorites.
I do, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was an amazing book. But and I remember back, that was a long, long, many, many years ago. But I also, though, I think he spoke to me when he stepped away from the life that he had known, the success that he had known, and that was actually projected before him because of that book, best-selling book. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it that way anymore. I'm only focusing on spiritual studies from this moment on. And he became what I believe to be one of our most profound spiritual teachers because of that commitment and because of his ability to translate deeper spiritual understandings into practical information and knowledge. But more than that, to me, is that he said, I'm not going to be identified by a success, or I'm not going to be identified by a specific book and think that that's the only way that I can create and the only way that I can be impactful. I'm going to follow my own. Like, what's the title of your show?
Live Your Music.
Live Your Music. He's going to live his music, and his music was taking him into a spiritual path. And so to me, that's incredibly inspiring because it says to me, whatever path we're on, we can always choose differently. We can always follow what our heart. When I stepped away from, and I can remember locking the door of my office and stepping away and choosing to follow this path of a search for the amazing woman back 20 years ago. And, you know, I called myself a published author. I didn't know what I was going to be writing. I wasn't a published author. I wasn't an author. I wasn't a writer. I was not a speaker. A matter of fact, my throat, my voice was incredibly blocked. I had nothing, you know, in my opinion, what in the world would I have to say that anybody would want to listen to? That was pretty much my perspective at the time, which is a very kind of saddens me to say that. But truth is that, Many women today, even 20 years later in the movement, are looking to find their voice, or looking to empower their voice, or looking to set their voice free, or looking to find the language to communicate the heart and the soul and the spirit of who they are. So I think that that common thread of stepping away from one way of being and choosing to step into the fullness of what my heart was calling me to become, and even no matter how frightening it was, and no matter how much I had diminished my capacity to even step into that role, or how I could never imagine myself doing that. I think there's a thread there, though, for us to all learn from, is that, you know what, if your heart's speaking it, a way will show itself. the doors mm-hmm. will open. And that's, you know, in this 20-year journey of creating and leading and being part of and learning from this movement of amazing women, I think that that's what we're all doing. You know, this community links arms. We lift each other. We learn from each other. We grow from each other, and we do not let anything stop us from moving forward, even when it takes great courage and great bravery.
Well, the thing is it always takes courage, and you're always going to feel fear when you do something you've never done before. And that's one of the reasons that I not only love that book of Wayne's, by the way, Your Erroneous Zones. I have still have the old beat up paperback copy with all my highlights somewhere here. And then, you know, I had sent him a thank you note about that, and he had his assistant send me a signed hardcover copy of the book. And
that was generous.
He sent me his little book, Happy Holidays, that I just treasure so much too. So, you know, he was always so generous. He was just super generous and such a loving person, and blessed that we got to meet him so many times. You know, I can't even go into how many different times we got to meet him through going to events here in San Francisco and in Las Vegas went to 4 I Can Do It's there, and got to talk with him and hear him speak and hug him there. He gave great hugs, by the way, you know.
And mentors are so important, these mentors that we have along our way. And sometimes we don't even know that there are mentors. They can be mentors from afar that we're watching, we're observing, we're witnessing how they take action in the world, and it inspires us to take action in our own individual, unique way. And I think that mentors is something that's an incredible. I actually was thinking of some of my mentors as I was preparing for this interview today. And I have a lot of mentors, I've realized, through my life, mm-hmm. from all the way from, you know, grade school, early school, to all the way through all of my life, but especially during that transformational time where I moved from one way of being in the world as a marketing executive for television and film, and into what I believe to be, and feel to be, and know to be my truest nature, and that's to serve in lifting our feminine. I want to say our feminine grace, our feminine powers, and our feminine mm-hmm. capacities. And I think that, mentors are incredible. Some of them I'm going to just shout out to Rita Rivera and Don Miguel Ruiz, who were incredibly instrumental in my transformational journey that I studied with for 8 years, I believe, mm-hmm. Awakening. I think that those two people believed in me, could see in me, and inspired me to step up into a greater courage. I've had many, many mentors since then as well, and continue to study. I think our mentors and then our own individual spiritual study, our growth into equipping ourselves with that which we're being called, whether it be for our business growth and our intellectual growth, or whether it be for our spiritual growth. I think it's incredible to remember that we never outgrow that, and give us, you know, by stepping into knowing that we have a capacity to continually learn, expand, grow, and emerge. I think that knowing is what opens us up to. By the way, I think we can redefine our relationship with fear to where fear, you know, by doing all of the study that we're talking about and having the mentors and having the support and having the community, I think we can begin to redefine fear as to an adventure into the unknown, an adventure that, fear does not, is really pretty useless other than to create more fear within us. I think if we look at any fear or we look at any self-doubt and we say, let me look at this as an adventure, let me see what I can discover, let me see how I can redefine, let me see how I can stretch myself and make it kind of as a game.
That. You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, okay, fear, fantastic, exciting, adventure, and then hadn't gotten to the R yet.
Realization. It's realization. You know, it takes you to realization. I'm just thinking back when I, you know, through this Amazing Woman movement, I had that idea to write a book series. on Amazing mm-hmm. Women. And I started interviewing women, and I started collecting stories, and I started, in my mind's eye, creating what I saw to be an Amazing Woman book series. And I often tell this story from the stage, is that I was not a writer, I was not an author, I was not there's a whole bunch of I was not. And one day I said, exactly what we're talking about, I said, what if I decided that this is all an experiment? What if I decided that everything I believe I'm not, what if I believed that I could step into an experiment and I could try on that outfit of being an author, try on that outfit of being a speaker, try on that outfit of being a communicator of feminine power or whatever it was that I wished to communicate and write about. What if I, decided it was okay for me to interview people? What if I even got even more audacious and said, it's okay for me to be really, really good at interviewing people and really, really good at doing interviews, or really, really good at speaking on stages, or communicating through written word, or bringing, what it grew into is bringing collaborative community together. What if I decided, rather than have to bust through any kind of fear, what if I decided it's just a grand experiment in me becoming what my heart desires for me to become?
And I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, is it great? So it's not such hard uphill drudgery. It's not this breakthrough I have to make, and it's not this mm-hmm. ceiling I have to crush, and it's not this wall I have to knock down. It's really saying, I'm going to align with, I'm going to say it's okay for me to be what my heart's desiring me to show up as. And if mm-hmm. that means that I'm being called to write books, it also means that I will be or am already equipped to be in that role. And my job is to create a relationship with that part of me that knows that to be, that believes that to be, that trusts that to be, and can let go of, this is the hard part, let go of the mm-hmm. identity, the image that says I'm not that. And that's the hard part, because that's a continual journey, by the way. It's like one image replaces the next image. So we're always redefining. We're always expanding until we can finally just say, do you know what? I'm going to let go, and I'm going to just allow the truth of all that I am to show up the best that I can, and just show up and be all that I can be, and know that I'm always doing the best job that I can do.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That is so true. I mean, people say it's hard. I've learned a lot about language and not to be saying, affirming it's hard, but it can be a super challenge to let go of things that are familiar. I have that problem myself, a lot of times.
Oh, I think, I'm like the master of loving an identity and loving, this attachments, and it's a constant awareness for me of looking at how am I defining myself that diminishes who I am and what I'm called, how I'm called to serve. And right now, my focus is on, and I'm passionate about this, you can tell, is that
mm-hmm.
we're being called up to serve. There's no question about it, whether it be the pandemic or before the pandemic. Women are being called to serve. We're being called to create new agreements with ourselves that does not dialogue, that diminishes the power of who and everything we are. We're really being called up to own the callings, own the truth of who we are, own our capacities to heal, own our capacities to serve and support others in their healing, in their truth-telling, in their contribution, in their passions. And that can be many different ways. That can look many, many different ways. But we're really being, when we talk about identity, and one of the questions that I had thought about for us today is, what's the first thing we can do to release and step into the power of our legacy, step into the truth of who we are as servant leaders, to, you know, step into this new emerging amazing woman that we can see. I mean, we don't have to look very far, do we? You can see women are stepping up and owning it in a grander way. But I believe that we must break through the way we hold our self-image and let go of thinking that our self-image is based on our achievements. And from this moment on, our self-image is based on the heart and the spirit and the passions of our inner callings. And when we begin to emerge in that place of, I believe in this at such a level, I believe in what I'm called to create at such a level that I can stand strong and stand true regardless of whatever storm I encounter, whatever wind sweeps by or whatever wave wants to knock me down, I think, and that sometimes comes in the form of, you know, opinions of others, or it comes in the, you know, in the form of self-doubt, or it comes in all kinds of forms. But when we say I'm making a commitment that every action that I'm taking is based on this incredible connection, this deep, deep, loving, heart-centered connection I have with what I'm called to create, and I'm going to honor it, I'm going to hold it in the highest of esteems, and I'm going to allow myself to take action based on that knowing, even when people around me, one of the questions, oh, you'll love this, Margot, one of the questions I ask in some of my coaching is, what is the one thing you're willing to do if everyone in the room and everyone around you laughs at you? What is the one thing you're willing to believe in deep enough that no matter what the judgments are that are thrown or what's the, you know, no matter what comes up, that you're willing to be true to that mission? What is that? And when we start to find what that is, that's when we become unstoppable. When we believe in that at that level of esteem, that's when we can really truly emerge in the amazing women that we already are. We could step into that and heal the planet, heal the world.
You know, you're right. I mean, and the world needs healing and love. I keep hearing, you know, when I write my morning pages and do my meditation, I keep seeing love, all in caps, period. Wayne Dyer always had love on his T-shirts, and he still was trying to describe love as being divine love or unconditional love or this or whatever. But to me, love is just love, you know? And then all the other kinds of love you need to use the words with, romantic love or conditional love or whatever. But, you know, love is what we need to do. And you're right. I mean, our heart's desires. I don't know if you are familiar with Emmett Fox, but he had a little booklet that a friend gave me back in 2005 called Your Heart's Desire. And in the book, he talks about how your heart's desire has been placed in you, and it's the one thing, or more than one thing, that is so important to you that you're afraid to tell anybody even what it is because they might laugh at you or they might say you couldn't do it or whatever. And, you know, for me, one of those has definitely been singing. And I've been singing now for years. it took me a long time. It took me a long time to get over that fear and to say, okay, I'm worth it. I'm going to take some singing lessons because I'm really jealous of my husband and son getting up on stage and singing without me. And, you know, it... But you have to focus, you have to practice, you have to love it, you have to, you know, find what is your heart's desire. And you're so right about that. You know, do you realize we only have like 10 minutes left?
We have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah. Anyway, so tell us a little bit about this new book that's out, or coming out. It's not out yet, I think. Tell us about a little bit about who's in it and what it's about, and can find out more about it too.
The book stemmed from, once again, you know, we've been talking about curiosity or an adventure or just an experiment in study. The book started with this question: is how can women emerge in the fullness of the possibilities of their future. How can women emerge in the fullness of the possibilities of their future? And I wanted to know the answer to that. I wanted to know the answer for my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know the answers that were coming through other women. And I reached out and worked with for, gosh, we were together for about a year on throughout this pandemic in the study of what did that mean to each individual woman. And how could she, how had she discovered that for herself was the first thing I wanted to know. And then the next thing is, how did she find her way? What were the action steps she took to get herself there?
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to know, how was that influencing or informing her calling? How was that making a difference and evolving her purpose? So the book is really about, I think, very timely and exactly where we are right now. It's how can we as women emerge in the fullness of our power of possibilities, and how can we evolve in our purpose? We've talked a little mm-hmm. bit today about how we get caught in our image. So maybe we've mm-hmm. imaged ourselves as a specific kind of coach or a specific kind of author or a specific kind of teacher or a specific kind of speaker or a specific type of business owner. And maybe we've got an intellectual facade built around this acceptance or this expectation of who we are. I think mm-hmm. if the pandemic gave us anything, there's a whole lot it gave us, but if there's one
yeah.
thing that it stood out for me is that it gave us time for inner dialogue, inner contemplation. It gave us time for discovering, what does my heart really wish to do? You know, here I am, I'm secluded in my apartment, in my condo, in my house, wherever I am. And I've got time to really look deeply. And what I want us to do and what I've been encouraging, and I believe this book does for us, The Amazing Woman, It's Your Time to Emerge, what it says to us is, look deeply within your heart and be willing to make the shifts and the changes. Be willing to re-identify with a new understanding of the fullness of who you are. To move through even the most challenging of experiences. And there's some really challenging experiences that are spoken about in this book by the women that are featured in the book, these incredible authors that have really brought their heart, their soul, their spirit, and I will say dug deep into the vulnerability of telling what their experience was and how they moved, really held nothing back when it comes to speaking about how those experiences allowed them to evolve and emerge into a new level of understanding of what their purpose is. So whether somebody's sitting right now and they're listening about, you know, talking about the book and talking about evolving purpose, and they already feel that they know, or if they're completely do not know what their purpose is and they'd love to understand how to find it, if
mm-hmm.
they're sitting in a space of knowing that there's more of them that wishes to emerge, that there's more that wishes to be expressed, this book
mm-hmm.
is really written for that woman. It's written for that woman that knows in her heart that she's here to create, to connect with. She's here to be all she is. She's here to contribute to her community. She's here to contribute to her family. She's
mm-hmm.
here to live the fullness of her life and is not going to stop until she's elevated her own self-image to one that's in complete alignment with what she knows. I'll borrow Wayne's words, your heart's desire. She's not going to stop
mm-hmm.
until she knows that she's elevated her self-image to where it is completely in alignment with her heart's desire. And then she's letting go of anything that has defined a limitation. So the book is really written as a journey into understanding, how do we find our purpose? How do we step away from or around or beside any of the self-image that's a false self-image that we've
mm-hmm.
accepted? How do we create new agreements within ourselves that allow us to really shine in the power and emerge in the power of who we are so that we can be the servant leaders, be the be the amazing women, be the legacy makers that we're really here to be. I'm going to just say this because it's been coming up as we're speaking. When I first, you can tell I'm very passionate about the message that moves through me and very passionate about serving in this way. And I remember when I first started writing my books and I had dinner with a dear friend and her husband, and I was incredibly passionate about what I was dreaming, this vision that I was holding. And they started laughing at me, Margo, and they said, "Your passion is silly." And, you know, I think we've undervalued and underrated. When we put the energy of passion or we put the energy of our heart's desire into the beingness of who we show up as women, I think that's when we're truly enlivened. That's when we're embodied in our purpose. That's when we're really willing to set aside any of the identifications that limit us. So, of course, you can tell I really didn't listen to that judgment of me. I thought, you know, I paused for a minute. It put a ding in me for a second. And then I came back out more passionate than ever before, because it's the passion that speaks through us. It's the truth of who you are that speaks through you. It's when we look to be contributors and create legacies in the world, it's you evolving and creating the space within you for that calling to expand. It's advancing that new definition. It's about really committing to elevating your self-image, and it's wholeheartedly giving yourself in your capacity to serve. And that, to me, is what a legacy maker is. And I believe that every single one of us, in our own unique and individual ways, are legacy makers. And we're being called up to create a new legacy right now.
Oh, that is beautiful. You know, we've only got 3 minutes left, and I want to make sure that people know they can go to marshengel.com, and they can also go to amazingwomannation.com to find out more about you and the book. And I am so curious to read the book. I can't wait till it's out and I can read it. And
it's an incredible book. It's an incredible journey writing the book, I will say. The women in the book, everyone brought the greatest power I've ever witnessed. And maybe the pandemic helped us with that. Maybe it was just time. Maybe it's that women realize that we're being called forward. And we're celebrating, you know, on March 30th, we're celebrating with an online gathering. So that's up on the Amazing Woman Nation site as well.
Okay, yeah. Wow. Oh, my gosh. I always love talking to you, and I love hearing your passion. And I love that you're following your heart's desires. And you're not only following yours, but you're also inspiring others and encouraging others to do that too. And you're doing all five of what I call my five C's: connection, communication, creation, collaboration, and celebration. And you do all of those things, Marsh. And that's how I think how we make our biggest contribution, is by listening to our heart and doing what you're talking about, being who we're here to be, not being who someone else told us we had to be or who we were. And it can take a while to figure that out. So we have a minute left. A minute and a half left. What do you want to say just quickly before we get cut off?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I think there's a quote. There's a statement that I had written. I'm going to see if I can find
it. Oh, I have it. I have it. As we discover the true power of our sacred work, we access a deeper sense of connection, value, and creativity that can and will transform lives, our communities, and the world. Marsh Engel. I love that quote.
She's just let it land on you. And then there's this other one. I want to share it. I think I have a second. I'm going to say it really fast. This one was the mantra that I wrote this in 2001, carried it with me, and published it in the book. We simply must find the courage to dismantle the mundane, to fully engage the miraculous that is calling to us. And that's what I would leave us with. We must fully dismantle the mundane to step into the miraculous that's calling to us. And that's what I wish for each and every one of us.
Oh. And you know what? We've got 19 seconds left, so we made it. Woohoo!
Yay, we did good. I'm sending you so much love. I love talking with you.
I always love talking with you, too. And just seeing your face and seeing your books makes me happy. Reminds me to
Thank
be
you,
happy
Margo.
And spread happiness. That's what you
yeah.
do.
Well, you do a wonderful job.
Thank you. All right, everyone out there, figure out what your heart's desires are and live your music. Bye for now, everyone. Bye, Marsh. Thank you.